significant legislative rules, you have a large volume of material before you. We need to walk you through some of the process details, but first let's review the materials that we provided. So first you have a summary sheet, and the summary sheet shows the changes to the rules that were made between the supplemental CR 102 version and the version we are asking you to adopt. We'll return to that this in a minute. The next thing you have is a summary of comments received, both general and specific to the proposed rules, and that includes the comments that we received in the original CR 102, as well as the comments we got in the supplemental 102. You also have the proposed rule changes, and these are changes to 220-660-050 procedures, 370 bank protection and saltwater areas, 460 informal appeal of administrative rules, 470 formal appeal of administrative actions, and 480 compliance with HPA provisions. There's also an implementation plan that's required for a significant legislative rulemaking, and this provides an overview of the staff work that will occur after the rules are adopted, including outreach and education for the regulated community and our staff. You have the final regulatory analysis document. This includes the small business economic impact statement, the cost-benefit analysis, and the least burdensome alternative analysis. You also have a copy of the supplemental CR 102 notice of proposed rulemaking. Do you have any questions about these materials? Okay, hearing none. So returning to the summary sheet on and looking at the table on page 2, it details two changes that we are proposing to the rule language that are a result of the comments that we received in the supplemental CR 102. The first change clarifies that the department may require notification before a hydraulic project construction or other hydraulic project work. So just clarifying that, this only applies to hydraulic projects. The second change clarifies that a stop work order can only be used to stop work connected with a violation. So both of those are just for clarity. Are there any questions about these changes? Okay. Hearing none. Next, I'd like to turn your attention to the determination starting at the bottom of page 3 on your summary sheet. There are 10 items that you need to acknowledge. The first one is the hydraulic code rules in Chapter 2-2660 WAC that implement Chapter 7755 RCW are significant legislative rules. The second one is the general goal of the chapter 7755 RCW construction projects in state waters is to protect fish life. The specific objectives of the chapter are to ensure that hydraulic projects in Washington State are reasonably assessed and conditioned to adequately protect fish life in a manner that is proportionate to the impacts of the project. Third, the proposed rule is needed to implement elements of second substitute House Bill 1579 as enacted into Chapter 2-2660 WAC. And these establish or modify compliance and enforcement tools to help enable the department to ensure hydraulic projects provide adequate fish protection. The changes also implement a civil penalty schedule and specify signature authorities for certain compliance and enforcement tools as required in the bill. And last, there's a change to the benchmark provision for saltwater bank protection projects to change it from a discretionary HPA provision to a required element that's included in the plan submitted as part of a complete application, and this is to improve compliance. The fourth determination is that the probable benefits of the proposed rule are greater than the probable costs, taking into account both the qualitative and quantitative benefits of the cost and the specific directives of the statute being implemented. The fifth determination is after considering alternative versions of the rules in the context of the goals and objectives of the authorizing statute, the proposed rule represents the least burdensome alternative for those required to comply with it, and it will achieve the general goals and specific objectives stated under Chapter 7755 RCW. Sixth, the rule does not require those to whom it applies to take an action that violates the requirements of another federal or state law. Seven, requirements are the same for public and private entities wishing to engage in a hydraulic project. The rule does not impose more stringent performance requirements on private entities than on public entities. Eight, differences between the rule and federal authorities are necessary because there are no federal laws or rules that solely protect fish life from the effects of construction projects or other hydraulic work in or near the water. The rule differs from any federal regulations or statutes that apply to the same activity or subject matter, and the difference is necessary to meet the objectives of the hydraulic code statute. Almost done. Nine, the department has demonstrated that the rule has been coordinated to the maximum extent possible with other federal, state, and local rules applicable to the same activity or subject matter. And lastly, the department has identified and provided a regulatory analysis document. In the regulatory analysis document, the sources of information reviewed are relied upon by the agency in the course of preparing to take this significant agency action. Are there any questions about this determination? Are these determinations? Are there any other questions about the summary sheet?
So, Randy, the reason there's no questions is that you
didn't.
I was looking at my documents. So I'm switching back to video so I can see you all.
Hi there.
Hi.
Go ahead, Kim.
What is the date of implementation if we pass it today?
So we propose that the rules become effective 30 days after we filed the CR-103.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, can you hear me okay? Okay.
Thank you. We had decided that, can you hear me okay? I'm having a little trouble with my internet connection. We had requested additional staff, a compliance unit, and that has now been disallowed as a result of the veto. Once this becomes effective, is this just going to be additional burden on current staff? How is that going to be worked out?
Morgan, I'm going to defer to you to answer that question.
Yeah, thanks, Randy. Well, so we do have a recruitment open currently for a compliance division manager. We were able to set aside enough money in Habitat Program's budget by repurposing another position. And so we will have a compliance division manager. And in addition to beginning to build the program and any associated guidance materials, that person will also have a limited amount of capacity as we begin, once the rules are activated, for limited focus areas or more limited circumstances that we would identify as high priority to begin to be involved. So one initial idea has been that our first focus for any, you know, hour or ounce of new capacity we have should include a focus on the Stillaguamish watershed, because of its incredible importance and constraints in fishery management. So that's my initial thinking about how we would take the limited capacity we do have in hand and begin to apply it right away. I am loath to have a division manager level person focus for too long at an implementation in the field level. And so one of the things that came up in our executive management team conversations as we began to discuss budget and our legislative proposals is identifying items like this and a handful of others as priorities. And there are a lot of constraints we don't know about budget right now, but I think Nate has been helping us have the right kinds of conversations about budget. The other thing I would say is that we have some indicators that there is quite a bit of legislative and stakeholder support and certainly some tribal support for the Department of Fish and Wildlife to grow our field capacity to do this work. And so I would also envision that compliance division manager to be integrally involved with me, with Nate, with Tom McBride in Legislative Affairs to try to build on that support and hopefully get some additional resources in the legislature.
Great. Thanks, Morgan. You've given it a lot of thought. And I'd also like to thank Randy. As you mentioned, this has just been a tremendous, well-done effort. So I want to echo your thanks.
Well, thank you for that. My, I have to give a lot of credit to my staff. I had a lot of help with this.
So, okay, this is Barbara again. I realized that in my excitement over being on a Zoom call. So, Madam Chair, if there are no other questions, So, Kim, hold on to your motion for just a second. I need to retroactively formally open the April 24th meeting of the Fish and Wildlife Commission and announce that both Dave Graybill and Bob Kehoe have joined us, so we have a full crew. Commissioner Thorburn, we can hear you, but it sounds like listening to a 78 little album on 33, so you're talking very slowly. So feel free to make the motion to adopt this or make our adoption motion, or we can hand that off to someone else.
I have no idea what a 78 and a 33 is.
Yes, you do, Brad. Kim, or Bob.
Nope, sorry. Nope, nothing here. Go ahead, Kim.
I'm having real problems with my internet connection. Why don't you hand it off? Yeah, hand it off to someone else.
Okay, is there anyone else who is prepared to make the motion to adopt the hydraulic code rules as presented by staff?
Well, I'll also move, this is Brad, that we adopt the hydraulic rules as proposed by staff.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the rules implementing Second House Bill 1579 as presented by staff. Is there any discussion? Joe.
Yes. Could I actually request that the motion be restated using the recommended motion language, which is on page 6 of the summary presentation, because it includes additional language expressly adopting the determinations in the final regulatory analysis.
Yeah, I don't have that right in front of me, so then somebody else will have to make the motion.
So, Joe, since it is hard to go between screens on this, can you read the language that you prefer us to adopt and have it be a
adopted by reference?
Madam Chairman, Chairwoman, I have it in front of me if you'd like me to make the motion.
Feel free, Commissioner Lemieux.
I move to adopt the determinations made in the final regulatory analysis as summarized by staff today and to adopt the amended rules as presented by staff.
Then I'll second. We'll in reverse roles here.
Okay. We have another motion. Joe, do we need to vote on the first motion and... Or can we just say that it has been clarified?
Since the commission does not strictly follow Robert's Rules of Order, of which I am not an expert on, which is a good thing, as long as the record is clear what's going on, I am comfortable with just saying that the motion has been clarified.
Thank you. Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the hydraulic code rules as set out by staff. There's no further discussion? Commissioner McIsaac.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, just speaking in favor of the motion, I believe this proposed rule is needed to implement elements of second substitute House Bill 1579, and this bill also implements the recommendations of the Southern Resident Orca Task Force related to increasing Chinook abundance. And I'm speaking in favor of the motion with that justification.
Thank you. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. The change is adopted.